Hello, everybody. Welcome back. Today, we are with Nathan Riddett. He speaks widely about universal natural law and the roles it plays in the current state of humanity. He's got a large social media following. Got a couple of videos on YouTube, which I'd highly recommend going to watch. Nathan, thanks a lot for joining us. Tell us a little bit about your history. How have you fell into this line of work?
Okay. Thanks, Alex. So it must have been around 2010, 2012 when I started waking up, so to speak. And I was actually stockbroking at the time. So just from home. And I thought it would be wise to look into how the sort of financial dynamics play in the world. And I got getting into money creation. And this is really where things fell into place. And it's, you know, the biggest can of worms you're ever going to open. So I learned about fractional reserve banking and you know, the Rothschilds, all the private banking systems and how that works out. Just fraud and the fiat money system. And from there, I read David Icke's book, Human Race, Get Off Your Knees, which was very enlightening. There's a lot of good stuff in there. And, you know, started going through the usual documentaries from Earthlings to Zeitgeist, you know, from Lloyd Pye to... I just started going through it all, you know, putting all the information in. But I'll never forget that day. It was actually, I don't know if you're familiar with it, but it's called The American Dream. It's like a short half an hour YouTube cartoon.
Okay, I never watched that.
Yeah, that's what cracked the nut with me. And I just remember, I was just like, wow. I was just craving more information. It was almost a bit psychedelic in a way. And I was just, I need more. I want some more of that. I want to feed the brain. And I really, really loved it. And then I watched Secrets in Plain Sight, I think it was, a documentary. It's like a three-hour one. Yeah, so I'll never forget that day. It just completely blew my mind open. And it took a few years, really. I remember I came across Mark Passio's website, What on Earth is Happening? I think I was a little bit overwhelmed by the amount of information that was on there. And I kind of put it to one side, and I ended up going back there a few years later. I was listening to Mark Devlin's podcast series, like yourself, interviewing an eclectic array of people with interesting topics. I was commuting up to Manchester at the time. My little girl lived up there. So I was doing some lengthy journeys. And I just put Mark Devlin's podcast on in the car. And I think it was around the 50s. He was interviewed Mark Passio. And I just thought, right, yes, I remember that guy. I remember his website. Need to get back onto that. And I just started working through all his podcasts. And I wish I didn't waste the time. And I wish I got back on it earlier. Because it's looking at into the occult, and when we say that, you know, a lot of people get turned off and think evil or dangerous. But you know, as you probably know, it is just hidden knowledge. But it's the fundamental hidden knowledge that's been hidden from us for a good reason.
Yeah.
And but I guess I was wandering aimlessly until I learned objective morality, and you know, in occult terminology, I guess you'd say. I was wandering on the floor of the house, you know, in ignorance, to objective morality. So that's the nuts and bolts of natural law, you know, an objective right. And that's where we have been led astray, because we've been led into moral relativism as a species. And collectively, that manifests the wonderful prison planet that we're all bound to, yeah. Collectively, you know. So I guess that's a bit of an overview. Yeah, I hammered through his podcasts in about a year, 190. I think I caught up around 150 into real time. Yeah, I just hammered through it. I was listening to some, maybe five a day in some days. You know, just ravenous.
Mark Passio is it What on Earth is Happening?
whatonearthishappening.com. Just a phenomenal amount of information on there. Yeah, I guess he's aggregated, you know, a colossal amount of info really well and put it together. He refers it to as a tapestry. So, you know, just start off at podcast one. And yeah, it's very, very sanitizing, you know, just seeing the world for what it really is. And I refer to natural law as a cleanup, you know, like you'd do a run a virus check or a malware. You clean your computer, wouldn't you, from viruses and malware. I look at natural law like that for the human brain. You know, just clears, sanitize your mind, and gets rid of all of the can I swear on this? You know, just gets rid of all of the crap that we've soaked up from a lifetime of indoctrination and mind control, you know?
But it's been thousands of years, isn't it? It ain't something that's just happened over the last 50, 60 years. This stuff's been going on for centuries.
And in the age of information now, it's widely available.
Well, it's ignorance, isn't it?
Yeah, there's no such thing as nescience now unless you're a young child, you know?
Yeah, it's true. So, you've given a brief overview there of what natural law is. Can you go a little bit deeper into maybe actually some of the content of what natural law?
Sure.
Principles.
I guess it's the deterministic. It's what determines human behavior. So we've all got free will to pick and choose what we do. Some people would argue that if you're overly religious or even overly left-brained, you can go that far into the left brain. Stephen Hawking thinks that free will is an illusion. But we've got free will, and you know, we've all got we make the decisions on our actions on a daily basis, and that action is either based in objective right or objective wrong, you know. So what we need to know right from wrong to be able to make the decisions. And this is really okay, so remembering your question and trying to tie it together. So natural would be something that's inherent. It is, you know, it's part of nature and it exists. And laws are binding and cannot be changed in nature, you know, like thermodynamics and gravity, cause and effect, these type of things. These things exist, and we can either choose to align with them or to minimize suffering as an individual and collectively as a species, or we can remain ignorant to them and it will manifest suffering, and which is what we've got. We've got chaos and suffering on a collective stage with masters and slaves, you know, and the masters
getting... And that's because we're coming away from these natural principles of life.
Yes, and I think we all know this inherently. When you're about to do something wrong, or you're about to lie, you're about to steal, you know, you're about to take something which isn't yours to take, we get that feeling in our bellies or in our chests. Unless you're a psychopath, you know, then there is a very small percentage of the population which are born psychopaths, and they won't get that because they're just out for themselves and they're not wired quite right. Although we're born, we know this, we are born straight into moral relativism, where we're taught to obey authority and do what you're told, basically, in man's law. So although we teach our children the fundamentals of natural law, you know, we say, don't harm, don't steal, share, you know, that's basically natural law. Don't hit, you know, sticks and stones. You know, this is natural law. But as we get older, we seem to forget those basics, and we start voting for all of these, you know, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I think something I picked up from Mark Passio was, it's just don't steal. That's it.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. So when we expand on that, you know, so we don't murder is a theft of a life. Rape's a theft of someone's right to pick and choose who they procreate with, you know, who they're intimate with. And there's obviously theft of physical possessions, and we can own things, you know, contrary to some New Age Buddhist beliefs that, you know, nothing's ever yours. Or I get that when I die, it's not. But in this physical incarnation, obviously we can own things because, you know, like the equipment that we're communicating with together. That's your equipment. This is my equipment. Mm-hmm. We earned it. We bought it. We use it. It's ours.
Yeah.
No one's got the right to take that, right? So a lie is a theft of the truth. You've got the right to safety in your own lair, in your own home. So someone busting down your door is a theft. Yeah. So yeah, everything can be boiled down to a theft, you know. Don't steal, absolutely.
Yeah.
So when we know, I think we all know this deep down, But it's just, it's really, really contemplating on it and understanding this, you know, looking at man's laws and realizing that, you know, things like taxation is theft because it's not voluntary. You know, prohibition is a claim of ownership. That's a theft of your sovereignty. You've got the right to put whatever you want in your body, and it's only government that are claiming that ownership of you and saying, no, that's our body. You're not allowed to put these controlled substances into that body that we own. So yeah, absolutely, Alex. It's all theft.
Yeah,
so don't steal.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah. So I know very ancient principles. You can sort of label it under Hermeticism or Hermetics or however it wants to be labeled. They produce certain laws that the government the universe is held together with, mm-hmm. for example, the mentalism and cause and effect, mm-hmm. and polarity, and all these things. Mm. Have you studied a lot of that stuff?
I've read the Kabbalion maybe 3 times now, I think.
Yeah.
So it's always good to go back to. And yes, you mentioned government, funnily enough, but that's where, you know, the first principle, mentalism, the all is mind, the universe is mental, and that's, they know this. So that's why they're controlling at the mind level initially. Yes, we've got over control with the order followers, you know, the police and military, they're lapdogs. But yes, gubernare mentis, to control the mind, literally. And they're doing, if once they've controlled the mind, then the reality is manifested. Yeah, absolutely. So these are fundamental natural law principles. So anybody that hasn't read the Kabbalion, it's a must read book. It's quite heady, but it's spiritual gold, you know.
It is, and it's not difficult to get hold of now. You just go onto Amazon or whatever, and it's there in the next day. There's no excuse whatsoever.
That's it. Well, yeah, it's even free on, you know, PDF online. Yeah. You can get hold of it for free.
That's it. Yeah. So we talk a little bit about the mind there and now our perceptions and our subjective experiences are controlled from the higher echelons of maybe who we don't see rather than who mm-hmm. we do. Is maybe the human being's downfall because the human mind, by virtue of what it actually is, cannot differentiate between the truth and the falsehood. So I know that you, which I agree with, that it's in the heart and you feel it. It's like something wrong there. It's like a slaughterhouse, for example, when people eat meat and whatever. It's like there's something not quite right, but we're going to continue to do it. What we're eating.
Well, it's been so normalized, that particular subject, you know, it's just been rammed down our throats, excuse the pun, that it's normal.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember questioning this as a kid. I must have been about 8 years old, and I live with my grandparents, and I remember more traditional as well, you know, meat and 2 veg. I said, we're meant to love animals, you know, why are we eating them? And it's like, well, you need your protein. I was like, oh, okay. You know, as an 8-year-old, that was my question answered. You know, we kind of do know, but because it's so normalized, and you're absolutely right about, you know, there's a lot of people in the truth movement, advocates of freedom and nutrition that aren't going all the way with this, and they're still refusing to make personal changes and still advocating meat and dairy. But you said about subjectiveness as well, and well, obviously reality is objective and there's objective truth as well, and this is a big part of the illusion and why we're not aligned to natural law, and that obviously moral relativism, where it, we can pick and choose, and if we take it from the apophatic sense, which is knowledge through negation, you know what is wrong to know what is right. We know it's wrong to steal, you know, which then, because rights are infinite, so we'd be here forever talking about rights. Then reality as well is objective, and so that would be going down the lines of solipsism.
Yes.
And you know, where people would say that, well, that's your opinion, or that's his opinion, that's her truth, that's his truth, where it doesn't matter, you know, 2 + 2 = 4, it's always going to equal 4, and if you think it equals 5, and I think it equals 3, that we're not right. Neither of us are right. yeah. So, you know, those are two things that are really key to moving along this path. And I guess it's, you know, not lying to ourselves. We've got to stop lying to ourselves and be able to accept the truth, but to discern the truth, which is what you were saying, and people are struggling to notice truth from falsehood. And it's because we need to apply the trivium method. So the trivium method would be a cure, if you like, for relativism or solipsism. Or so the trivium, just very briefly, is the threefold path to truth and knowledge. So the first part of it would be to do as much research as you can, get as much information on the given subject from an eclectic array of sources. So get information from wherever you can. That's the first step. Second step would be processing that information. And you filter it. So you take out all the inconsistencies. You take out everything which cannot be true. And then you're left with the truth. And if you apply that, you're left with wisdom, you know. So that's a cure for the relativism and not being able to discern truth. So, we need to do our homework, and that's what turns a lot of people off, because people they're lazy and they don't want the responsibility.
Yeah,
I mean, most people don't know what's in a vaccine, and they're vaccinating their kids. You know,
I've read a post on this. It was just, as you do sometimes, scrolling through social media or whatever. And one of the stupid pages, Unilad or something, shared that one of the rugby players' wives refused to vaccinate the child. And I clicked off. This is going to be interesting. So I clicked on the comments underneath. There must have been one in every 50 who defended her. And everyone else was like, oh, she'll be dead by the time she's 10. And it's just like, this is so ignorant, what's going on here. It's just conditioning, knowing him.
It is. And I look at vaccines much like... smoking, you know, it used to be doctors used to promote smoking, you know, doctors smoke Lucky Strike, or you know, however, you know, Rothmans or whatever it was back in the day. And obviously the truth is coming out. Buddha quote, three things cannot long be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. And I really feel that is happening with we see this big vegan trend. You know, there will be a faddy element to it, obviously, but the truth's getting out there, you know, of the necessity and it's not necessary, and the harm that it's causing to humans and animals. So it is getting out there, and I think the same will happen with vaccines at some point. But there's a massive input from the pharmaceutical industry and pro-vaccine people and documentaries, and you know, we've seen all of the sort of Israeli trolls and whatever. So there's going to be lots of people defending it and stirring things up, you know, trying to sow seeds of uncertainty. But again, you know, we do our trivium, and we can find the truth ourselves if we do plenty of research. So
I'm gonna let me question the trivia for the conversation.
Go on, then.
So as you process, number two is processing through the information. Does that processing not flow through your filters and your subjective filters that have been put in there by your past?
Well, it shouldn't. So, I mean, I guess we need to be mindful. You know, ego is going to come into play a lot here, right? So we need to be mindful of not being triggered by how things make us feel, because a lot of people are still attached to that because it doesn't make me feel good, or because I don't like it, or because I don't want the world to be that way, then it can't be true, or I'm not accepting it. Well, this is just immaturity. It's obviously logical fallacies. So we should take information on face value and do our own research. We really should apply the trivium to everything. And bit by bit, we can get a foundation. But we do need to step past these preconceptions that we've got, because it is a multi-layered and the awakening process is multi-layered. You know, there's lots of layers that need peeling back. And sometimes when you're speaking about a certain subject with somebody and they're finding it hard to to take on board. It's because there's all these other layers that are on top of it that are reinforcing it. You know? So, yeah, and you know, the schooling system has a lot to blame, as well as media, but and parents, because we're imparting this information onto our children. So, but we need to be very mindful of preconception. It's beliefs. So we need to be mindful of ego and our beliefs and take information for what it is. And, you know, if we apply our trivium to it, then we should be able to discern truth from falsehood.
Yeah, agreed. Mm. So I've read a couple of times on your social media page, I think it was, don't quote me, if you're not a vegan anarchist, then you haven't gone far enough. Is that right?
Yeah.
Right.
So that's a good one. So, another Buddha quote, then, that there are only two mistakes you can make on the path to truth: not starting and not going all the way. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go all the way with these things, vegan anarchy, I guess we can apply the law of correspondence to this: as above, so below. So if we want to go all the way with human freedom, then that's anarchy. And that literally does mean without masters, no masters, no slaves. Whereas obviously, most people would associate that with chaos or pandemonium, that type of thing. By design, obviously, because the human farmers wouldn't want the collective consciousness to understand what true freedom really means and what it entails. And then on the as below it, so to speak, you've got carnism. These are both belief systems based in violence and domination, right? So if we're not in it, if there's not anarchy, there's tyranny. You know, let's simplify things rather than having democracy and socialism and fascism and all of these other means of control. It's either freedom or tyranny. And this is a belief system based in domination and violence, where humans believe that a small group of individuals have the right to rule over others, and they can employ their house slaves to, you know, the police and military are the only people that are allowed to use violence on everyone else. The other religion would be, so that's a religion, right? Government, authoritarianism, because it's an illusion. No one's born into this realm with any more rights than anybody else. So Carnism would be a religion based on the belief that humans have the right to use animals how they see fit, basically. And we can slaughter them and eat their flesh and use their products and their milk. So this is a belief based in domination where we don't have right. It's wrong to steal. Okay, now people will, we could talk about this for a long, long time, because there's a lot of generic arguments for meat eating. You know, well, animals do it and all this type of stuff. Well, obviously animals are, they don't have a neocortex. So they're not capable of the higher order thinking like humans. And animals eat animals, yes, but they're biological carnivores. They've got the teeth, they've got the claws, they need to eat, whereas humans need to eat plants, and we don't have the claws and teeth. Again, you know, apply the trivium to this, and we'll find that, I'd say that humans, the leading cause of human death is humans pretending to be omnivores, you know, through heart disease and cancers and that type of thing. So yeah, we, you know, apply the trivium to that, and we find that we're not even meant to be eating animals. Yes, we can if we need to, and in a survival situation, that's very different. Or in self-defense, you know, if we're getting attacked by a bear or something like that, then yeah, sure, do what you can to preserve your life. But that, yes, so that's, so going all the way with truth and freedom and right action would lead you to be a vegan anarchist. Yeah, we're not supporting domination. And that's really the one true divide in human consciousness. You either support domination or you don't.
It is quite ironic when people begin to compare themselves to the animal kingdom by using reason to justify what they're saying. It's an incomparable thing.
Well, I think that in the current state of, you know, where the collective consciousness is, where humanity is at collectively, very much an animalistic consciousness,
yeah.
You know, which is by design, by the powers that be, to, you know, yeah. The downward pointing pentagram is literally diverting human spirit into animalistic nature. So where we're at now, right, yeah, absolutely. And people that aren't using their neocortex are in animalistic nature, and the neocortex, this is great, because we're going back into natural law now. To be truly intelligent, you need to have intel and gents, which, you know, you've got the intellect, the masculine element, and the female gents genare to create. To have true intelligence, you need to have those two balance, and that's natural law. That's do no harm, right? Don't steal. Then the masculine element of take no shit, which is the right to self-defense, i.e. the bear's attacking you, or someone's trying to steal something from you, you know, or trying to violate you, which is violence. And we use force, you know, extreme, whatever force it is, to put down the threat.
So the ignorant people, the people who are stuck in their animalistic nature, do these people need to be led? Because if they were vegan anarchists, would they cause a shitstorm?
Well, they, you know, they, rather than following fads, they need to be doing it because they know it's right. So once you've taken it into your being that it's wrong to steal, and you really need to understand that on a deep level, then you're doing it for the right reason. You're not just doing it because everyone else is doing it. And you know, and that's thinking for yourself, and this is internal sovereignty, right? So you're in control of your thoughts, your actions, and your emotions, and they're in line with natural law, which is what you know, this is what all of the religions are trying to tell people, but religious people are pretty much religious in name only, and they just go to church or be a good Christian, but they're not actually in a name only, you know, they're not actually taking right action. And that's Christ consciousness. Yeah. That's right action. That's the sacred feminine, the sacred masculine in alignment, and you're walking the walk, and that, and collectively. So Christ consciousness is what we should all embody. And then collectively, because reality is a manifestation of our collective actions, it will manifest order and less suffering. But because people don't have internal sovereignty, they're not controlling themselves. They've got internal anarchy. So then, obviously, with that internal anarchy, where there's the being controlled externally. That's why we're all controlled. Yeah. And actually, I wanted to get into today being Valentine's Day, Alex.
So, coming on to that, I'd ask you the question: What is love?
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Great. Yeah. So. It's Valentine's Day, so the true expression of love, the Greeks had, I think it was 6 words for love. Let me just get up on my web browser then now, because I don't know them off by heart, and I don't want to butcher this. but I want to talk about agape, or agape, however you prefer to say it. Greek words. And that, so love's really the expansive force in nature. So most people would say you've got love and hate, whereas really we've got love and fear. So being in the expansive polarity of love would lead you to want to take on information and apply it. So these are all acts of love, whereas if you were ignorant, or you're in fear, you know, this is a polarity of fear. So you're afraid of the information. You don't want to know it. So for whatever reason, you don't want to know it. You're in fear of it. Maybe it's personal responsibility or whatever it may be. But that's a polarity of fear. So true expression of love is the expansive version, and it's knowledge, courage, and right action. Fundamentally, and speaking the truth, you know, having the courage to speak the truth, and you know, a lot on this path of truth and love, if you go all the way with it, again, you will understand why it's right to be a vegan anarchist. I don't know if I explained that particularly well, Alex. But
so is that the agape there, that what you said, the knowledge, courage?
Agape, it would be the love of all things good.
Right.
Really. The expansive love. Because other versions of love would be sort of brotherly love, or more, you know, intimate sexual kind of love and lust. Mm. Love you'd have for your siblings, love you'd have for your parents. There's different versions of love, but the love that we're talking about today on Valentine's Day would be the expansive love, yeah, that would lead you to do the right thing,
yeah,
make the right changes.
Is it a state of consciousness, a state of being, or is it something that's done?
All of those things. Mm. Yeah, but and then that would be your thoughts, actions, and emotions, right? So it's a state of your consciousness being your thoughts, actions, and emotions. So you'd be in that polarity. So it's all of those things. Yeah. Mm.
Yeah. I mean, are you aware of Dr. David Hawkins?
I've heard the name. I'm not familiar with his work, so okay. I've known little bits.
Okay, so we've written a book called Power Versus Force, which essentially uses kinesiology to test truth from falsehood, and the body goes weak in falsity, and it stays strong in truth. And that's
okay, interesting.
That's sort of, and he collaborated from 1000 to 0, some of the, you know, spiritual leaders throughout history, and statements and things. And love is at about 500. Bang in the middle of enlightenment is 600, 500 is love, and unconditional love is 540. And for example, Sigmund Freud is at...
Hertz, right? It's frequency.
It's frequency. It's a state of levels of consciousness, yeah. So it's frequency, yeah. But you can see, as they collaborated, like Sigmund Freud is 499. So he was the ultimate in linear content, but he couldn't flick into context, which was meaning and beingness. Whereas Carl Jung got to unconditional love at 540, and that's why his work is so much more profound than Sigmund Freud. So I highly recommend looking into that, because it is very...
it does sound interesting. Mm. Yeah. I guess that would be also, you know, an application of that word intelligence as well, not being overly left-brained and linear, like you said. And having that balance, knowing the physicality as well as the metaphysicality of things, and that it really is one of the same.
Yeah, it is. Well, it is. I know. So, what is love? You've sort of gone through that. Is there any way that you think you can get into a state of being, maybe through taking substances or meditation or things like that can get you to a quick shift in awareness?
I think so, yes. From my own personal experiences and communications with other people and that I know personally and on the internet. Mm. You know, there are some people which by all accounts have like Satori awakenings, like what David Icke was meant to have experienced in Peru, I think it was. That would have been a natural, but these are obviously very, very rare. And these, you can also, by all accounts, get Satori awakenings from taking entheogenic substances, you know, magic mushrooms, DMT, uh-huh. that type of thing. But for most people, it takes time and effort, you know, putting the information in and processing it and aligning with it. But I've used entheogens along this path, and I can testify their benefits in helping me assimilate this information and make the changes. They've also helped with addictions. So entheogens or psychedelics, and interestingly, I think we should talk about the words there. So psyche, delune for psychedelic, psyche the mind, delune to make clear, literally to make the mind clear. Entheogens, entheogenare, to create the divine within. And these have been used throughout human history. You know, if you were having troubles back in the day and you lived in a tribe, you'd go and spend the evening with the shaman, you know, you'd go and sit down and have your brew with him in this tent, and you'd be right as rain after whatever you've experienced, you know, it, in that process. So that, you know, there's loads and loads of studies out there on they're looking to integrate microdosing with post-traumatic stress disorders and overcoming addictions. But, you know, alcohol abuse, substance abuse, these have been proven to work. I used to drink alcohol. I used to be a bit of a binge drinker, but along the path of taking on information and using entheogens as well, I literally stopped overnight, and that's no joke. It can be quite a stressful existence, wading through the matrix, and especially if you've got the 9-to-5 job. You come to Friday, and it's quite normal to feel like you want to let your hair down. So I don't suffer from that anymore. I haven't got any hair to let down, but you know, you're not going to get much more of a deeper purge than a 5-gram dried mushroom session. You know, you're going to have a major purge, and that should see you good for a little while. But it does change the brain chemistry, so it breaks down addiction pathways and it helps to forge new pathways. So if you're taking information on and you're trying to change it, it does actually help you. Because we are hardwired, you know, we do get endorphins and pleasure releases from the brain from doing things that we repetitively do. So that's why it is hard to change, because we are literally hardwired into our behaviors. So
do you think these substances give you something or take everything that isn't real out?
Bit of both, I guess. They're meant to remove the filter, you know, so you literally see reality for the rawness that it is. So yeah, they would help you to see reality and take it in. What was the exact question again, Alex?
Flipping it. About 30 seconds, I forgot.
Did you think they put it in or take it out? Or something like
that? Yeah, so do you think the brain is a receiver or a transmitter of consciousness?
Both, yeah, receiver and transmitter. I think Tesla and Einstein both say that it's the greatest transmitter receiver that we know of, and we can transmit a thought which will go literally throughout the universe instantly. So, you know, and there are many stories about people having shared experiences, or, you know, people dreaming somebody's experience the other side of the world as it's happening, and this type of thing. So, I mean, was it not Bruce Lipton? I've forgotten the guy. A presentation series, Your Wish Is Your Command. It was the presentation series. Yes. And he was talking about the brain as a transmitter receiver as well. And that's a good a series to go through. Very positive.
Yeah.
You do need to be mindful not to be too self-serving, obviously.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, but these things are all good, much like, you know, The Secret. But we need to be mindful not to be too self-serving on these things.
Yeah. So the current state of how we see society, especially through the media, are you personally optimistic or pessimistic of where we're going?
I'd like to be optimistic, as an optimistic kind of guy. But looking at it for what it really is, it's very hard to be that way, because, you know, most people are still in a place of either solipsism or moral relativism. There's these, you know, flat earth psyops that people are still lapping up. There's transgender agenda, neo-feminism. There's a lot of crap we're still buying into, a lot of beliefs. You know, religion is still out there. There's and the political paradigms is very much capturing people and polarizing them and divide and conquer on that note. And Pete, you know, let's be honest about it. Do you see the police and military walking out of their jobs in mass numbers at the moment? I don't. I mean, I see vegan, you know, veganism, I guess, is probably a bit of a light. You know, a lot of people are looking at that as a very positive and change is happening. And perhaps it is. But on the flip side, I'm still seeing more retarding, in the true sense of slowing down, beliefs and religions hold, and that's what religion means, right? Religare, to hold back, yep, to thwart from forward progress, and it's doing the job. It's really doing the job, and there's too much religious belief out there, be it in authoritarianism or scientism or money, you know, and these things are very, very prevalent in society.
Yeah. I think that's a very valid point you've said there about science being a religion. Mm. Because it's very, you know, they think they're opposite. And they're not opposite at all. They're standing right next to each other in controlling people. There's no difference
between the two. Paradigm protectors. They're protectors of, yeah. And you know, if you don't think that government funded organizations are going to be biased with government
that's like Big Pharma as an example.
Yeah.
You know, if they're going to pay the government are going to take it, aren't they?
Mm.
It's not rocket science.
Absolutely. But you know, if they find a cure, then they're literally out of business.
Exactly.
So, yeah, there's too much religious belief. We see little pockets of awakening and veganism. You know, again, this, the three things can not long be hidden: the sun, the moon, and the truth. I think that is applicable to the vegan movement. You know, we need to be doing it these things for the right reasons, not because it's a fad. And we do see a bit of a fad there, and it's being promoted with like Jay-Z, Beyonce, Snoop Dogg, and a lot of people like this are getting behind it. But at the end of the day, they know that humans are still going to eat shit. They still know that it's not, most humans aren't going to be eating organic whole foods. It's still going to be Oreos and Haribos and whatever else it may be, you know, packaged microwave vegan food and that sort of stuff. So
but that's their responsibility again, mate. You can only do so much for someone. They've got to walk the path themselves, haven't they?
Yes. I'd really like to be more optimistic, but there's just too much religious belief. And when the police and military start walking out in swathes, then we've got an awakening going on.
I've seen a bit going on in Europe recently. I don't know whether that's false flags or whatever. I've got no idea, but I've seen a few police people there laying down their shields and whatever.
Yeah, I mean, we don't see much of it on the mainstream, do we? But but the trouble with any movement is, unless it's really got a fundamental understanding of natural law, then there's not going to be any positive change, because we need to get to the causal factor, and the reason why we've bought into all of these beliefs and systems is because we are collectively ignorant to objective right and wrong behavior. We haven't collectively taken on board that it's wrong to steal, so we allow our masters to steal from us, right? You don't know, you won't say no. And the danger with, because it's, you know, France is pretty much bordering on a revolution at the moment, if it does go hot, then they're going to be right back to square one, because most people aren't coming at it from a place of natural law. And there's no point doing anything until 51% of the population get natural law. So that's where we need, from the principle of mind, the mentalism, you know, we need to be doing the opposite of what the controlling class is doing and hiding natural law and obfuscating it. And we need to be teaching each other it in mass numbers, because the schooling systems, education's meant to mean educare, to lead out of darkness, but the schooling system are leading people further into darkness and moral relativism and solipsism. I had a bust up with the head teacher at my son's school shortly after him starting this year, And yeah, you know, it's run by a morally relative solipsist. You know, and my mum's just been going to the hospital recently. There was a cancer scare, and they've got nutritionalists advising that they eat meat and dairy. You know, so this is where we're at. So we need to grab the bull by the horns ourselves and get ourselves out of this mess.
Yeah,
that we've allowed ourselves to get into.
So what would you say to the average person? We'll finish it up now. So what would you say to the average person? What could they read or get involved in that could produce that shift in awareness?
Mm. Well, I mean, a good long look in the mirror, really, because we need to create respect. We need to have respect for ourselves. So respect our way to take another look, to look at, and see where we're going wrong, and to be able to be honest with us. We need to be able to be honest with ourselves. We need to be able to take the truth on board and try and apply it in our lives. And really, I guess the key word here would be care. We need to generate care for ourselves. And if you don't care about what you're putting in your body, you don't care about human slavery, then try and sort it out, because that's not a very good place to be. You know, and this is a place of self-loathing and fear, and this is you know, the mainstream is ramping the fear thing, and that keeps that vibration low. So we need to try and create. You need to try and care about yourself and about others and about the planet. And when you start caring, then it's a little bit easier to make positive change. You know, like if you smoke cigarettes, for example, you know, you've got to actually care about it first before you try and quit, because if you're not 100%, I really want to do this for my health, because that's the right thing to do, then you're going to fail. So it's a bit like that, really. As far as information is concerned, so, you know, try and care and take on information. So the Kabbalion we've already mentioned, I'd certainly recommend that. And I'd recommend The End of All Evil by Jeremy Locke, which is a more of a modern book that's free and available online. You know, both of these books are only about 100 pages each. The End of All Evil is easy to read. It's very, very, very sanitizing, actually. So, yeah, a couple of books there. I'd go through Mark Passio's work, save yourself some time, and, you know, sort of wandering around, you know, aimlessly, if you like, putting information in from random people and random documentaries. Just work your way through that. That would have saved me a massive amount of time if I'd have just done that straight away.
Well, second Passio, yeah, he's made a big difference in my life as well, to be fair. So where can people find you?
Type my name in, Nathan Redett, RIDDETT, and you'll find my YouTube page. I've got a natural law presentation series, 7-part series, but then I've got a condensed one, which is, I've tried to condense pretty much of the information we've discussed, actually, is in that condensed one. I guess you need to be in the right place to be able to take information on board yourself, you know, but again, you know, take it on board. Don't discount it because you don't like what it sounds like or because it makes you feel bad. Take it on board and do your own research. Yeah.
Well, thank you very much. Very much.
Yeah, good.
Cheers.
Thank you, Alex. Yeah, good interview, mate. Thanks a lot.
Cool. So thank you very much, everybody, for listening.